For our scripture reading this morning, we turn again to John 10, verses 11 to 18. This should be familiar territory as we're looking at this important teaching of Jesus for the third time. I read John 10, verses 11 to 18, and remind you, this is Jesus speaking and teaching. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the inspired word of God. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the message today is titled, One Shepherd, Two Folds, and One Flock.
Third time in John chapter 10. If we keep it up at this rate, we'll go through 2025 in the book of John. I don't plan to do that. There's sometimes you just need to slow down. Sometimes Jesus introduces something that you should grab a cup of coffee, go down to the lake, and meditate on. Sometimes you come across a sentence that should make you pause and say, who or what is he talking about? John is the basic Greek language. He uses basic Greek, the most basic Greek you can get out of all the writers in the Bible. John uses it. Maybe because he was a fisherman, but maybe because it was the Holy Spirit who appointed to him to write the basic Greek so that people can get it, and yet it is the deepest theology, and still to this day, causes concern for people, and concern when it comes to different doctrines and theologies. David wrote, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Then he writes again that wonderful, famous Psalm 23. You can go meditate on the whole of it, but he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, David in these two Psalms and other places calls himself a sheep, and that Christ is his shepherd. And yet, Christians go back and use Old Testament information like this. We actually claim it as our own. This is what I feel. This is what I sense. I'm like David. I'm desiring him. I'm going to claim him as my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Where do we get that right? Well, again, the understanding and the importance of the Old Testament. That you cannot understand. You cannot fully understand the New Testament without the Old. You have to have both. You definitely won't get the Old Testament without the New, because it completes it. But there are things that Jesus Christ has said, and the Lord has said by his Spirit to his prophets. And yes, David was a prophet. He is prophesying in some of this. And he is writing this for the sheep of Israel. But he is writing this for us as sheep. But where in the New Testament does it say that you have become one of his sheep? Jesus never does. Do you know that Jesus never calls you a sheep? In fact, in the Gospels, he never, ever says he is your shepherd. Where do we get that? Where do we get the gall, if you will, to call Jesus our shepherd if he's never seen it, if he's never said it? Jesus, what are you doing in the Gospels? Well, let's try to understand how we can claim this. We have to start in the first verse of chapter 10. We've covered this a few weeks. It will look familiar to you. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold, the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." We have to know the context. What is he talking about? Is he talking about the church? Is he talking about this church? Is he talking about you and me? No. He is talking to the Jews. He is telling them, you have a problem. Somebody has climbed into your sheepfold. Now you see a picture here of a worn down sheepfold. They used to make it out of rocks and they had one door. And the wolves and stuff, yeah, they would try to climb over the bricks and stuff, but the shepherd was there to guard the way and give them one way in and one way out. There was one fold. Here's one fold. And he's saying to the Jews, you are one fold. You are one fold. This is your home. Now, the fold there is very interesting. The word in the Greek means courtyard, or some are called the courtyard of the palace. They're the home. The courtyard was fenced off by a wall. So it's one location. It would be like one way into this location. This would be a fold, this building. It's a building. It's a place. Now remember, the church is an assembly, and even in the Old Testament, they talk about an assembly of people. That's different. This would be considered a fold. You're of that fold. They still use them today. Here's a common day, a modern day picture of a worn down fold in the Middle East. They still use it. You can see the fencing there and some of the wall going around Israel and the Palestinian area. And because of this fold, there's a fold there because there's an enemy. He who is an hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So the reason that a good shepherd would build a fold is to keep them safe. And a good shepherd would be there to guard them and take care of them. And a hired hand was afraid of the wolf. David is very interesting. He told a couple times that he killed, was it a lion and a bear? And he was good at it. And he knew how to use that sling. He got good at it because he cared for the sheep. He took his job personal. Austin and I were talking the other day about what it is to have a job and what it is to have a profession. You have a job, you get up, you go, you get your money, you come home, and you go, man, I hate that job. I mean, if you have a job, you generally usually don't like it. If it's a job to you is what I mean. But if you have a profession, you've had your training, your time, experience. This is what I know. This is what I like to do. I may not like all the people there. I may not like my boss and so all those kinds of things, but I have a profession and I'm giving my time and my effort and my money to that profession. Yeah, your money. You drive there, you buy the clothes, you whatever it is. You're keeping your profession going. And the Lord says to he's talking about the Pharisees, he's talking about these false shepherds that really do not care for the flock. We've talked about that before. They care for themselves, they feed themselves, they don't care about the sheep. And they're feeding themselves. And the good shepherd is going to keep the wolf away. That is the really bad guy. We'll talk a little bit more later. Now, back to Ezekiel 34 for just a second, because it's going to bring this to where Jesus is talking about the fold, the initial fold in 10 verse 1. In 34, Ezekiel 34, 5, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. Was that the church? Is that you? When you read Ezekiel 34, in the context of the writing, is that talking about us? No. This is talking about what happened to Israel. It's talking about the time that Israel was taken in by the neighboring countries, and really in a couple places, it says that Satan rose up against Israel and incited David and incited others against them. So there's a wolf out there, and these false shepherds, they'll say, hey, let's bow down to these idols, and let's, you know, when they set up the northern 10 tribes, they said, hey, why go down to Jerusalem? Jeroboam would say, we don't have to go down there. Let's set up a calf at Shiloh, or a calf in Ephraim. And so many of the false shepherds would set up this false idols in the north. That's very interesting. Then in 2 Chronicles 15 and a couple other places, you could find that the people who loved God would not stay there and worship. They would go south. They said specifically in 2 Chronicles 15 that they went down and gathered at Jerusalem because that was the fold. But in general, Israel and then Judah got scattered. So one fold is scattered. And back to our text in John. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the one fold, because they're scattered and they're lost. And if you go through all of the Gospels, he's talking to Israel. He specifically is talking to Israel. One fold, one flock, one shepherd. So Jesus plans a mission trip. This is the first mission trip, I think. Ezekiel 34, I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep. This is why he came. This is why John 10:1 is talking about this one fold. He's come to get them. I will rescue my sheep, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. So in Ezekiel, he prophesies that the sheep have been scattered and will be further scattered, because remember, they're in the land for several hundred years, and then they're out of the land, and then there's some problems, and then they're kind of back in the land, sort of, you know, and it's the time of the Gentiles, and they really don't own the land. And then, of course, they're in the land, and the Romans are conquering them and over them. And then, finally, the Lord said, that's it, you're out. And in 70 AD, he destroys the fold, the building. the temple. He destroyed the temple. He had it destroyed. Tear this down in 3 days and I'll build it up. Well, he's talking about his body, but he said, this fold is coming down. And it came down in 70 AD. And yet, hundreds of years earlier, Jesus said, they're going to be scattered. They still are scattered. There's a major problem, but I'm going to go get them. I'm planning a mission trip. And so, in Jeremiah 23, 1 through 4, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them. And I will bring them back to their fold. I will bring them back to fold number one. That rocky place where I'm the door, he says. I'm it. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. They come through me. I guard them. I rescue them. I feed them. And they're going to be in their own fold. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. We can talk about those other shepherds at some point. We'll get to that. That's just kind of a different talking about pastors and who he's going to appoint to lead this fold here. We could talk about that. But the point is that Jesus had a plan for these scattered sheep of this fold. And so Matthew 15, and this is very important. This helps us understand the New Testament. This helps us understand what Jesus did and what Paul is doing. And what was happening in the Old Testament and what's happening in the New, this is the crux. This is the crux of the whole issue. In Matthew 15, he said, he answered, I was sent only to the lost house of Israel, the lost sheep of the fold of Israel. That's why he came. And he's keeping his own word. You go to Jerusalem first. You go to your own people first. And so when he came to save Israel. They rejected him. And we'll get to that again. They rejected him. And so he's going to do something else, which we'll get to. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, we have to understand first that when Jesus Christ came, he came to Israel. Gabriel came to Mary. Gabriel came to Zechariah. They both said, at both times, he said that the salvation of Israel had come. And without this happening, there is no hope for anybody or anything else. This fold has to be saved. This fold. Is this the only, are the Jews the only sheep? Can we call ourselves sheep? Can we read Psalm 23 and rejoice in that and rejoice in 119 and claim those for our own? I hope so, because I preached it at a funeral a couple weeks ago. But Jesus doesn't call you sheep in his gospels. Where do we get that right? If he came to the fold of Israel. To fold number one. This is really important as well. Now these two writers, before we get into these, these two writers are Peter and James. They were with Jesus. One's his brother. One's that apostle that gave up on Jesus and was called back. In fact, you'll hear him. The Lord will tell him, feed my sheep. And so you have Peter and James writing. And let's see who they are writing to. It's very important. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. Stop. Dispersed. Scattered. Ezekiel 34. They're writing to the Jews. the Jewish Christians, the ones who have accepted Christ, okay? In Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, there's the foreknowledge, Ezekiel chapter 34, the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling with his blood. This is the fulfillment of the Passover. This is the fulfillment of the law. This is the fulfillment of everything that's happened in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ did for the Jews. It was a promise to come. Jesus planned the mission trip, and then he came and fulfilled it. And James, servant of God, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Do you know how many times I've heard people say, oh, the 12 tribes, that means us. That's a spiritual, that's us. You cannot get there from here. If you spiritualize the 12 tribes, you have to spiritualize everything else. How come we would make Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and even the Lord Jesus and James? How can we make them literal and the 12 tribes symbolic? You can't. But here's what's happening. We must understand this. It's going to help you understand the book of Hebrews, the book of James. It's going to help you understand that these two writers and whoever wrote Hebrews and what Jesus did is going to fold number one first. They're speaking to fold number one. It's a fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. Jesus Christ came and talked to the fold number one. For you were like sheep going astray, Peter says to the scattered Jews, Christians. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And so, remember the Lord said to the 12 disciples, go to the sheep of Israel first. And yet, he says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. One fold, but I have other sheep that are not of that fold. Now, this is really interesting because I know this seems trivial, but just follow me here. I have, number one, sheep of this fold, and number two, I have sheep that are not of this fold. That means there's two folds. One, two. All right? Two folds. Pretty clear? And here's the mystery. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. One shepherd, two folds, one flock. Now, here's the question. I've said that Jesus never, ever called you a sheep. But did he ever announce that you were going to be a sheep? Did he ever announce the church? Well, of course he did. He's doing it right here. And you know that famous line where in Matthew, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, and you are Peter, and upon this rock I will, not I have, not even I am, I will build my church. See, to the disciples, upon this foundation of the apostles and the prophets, I'm going to build another fold. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. And by the way, he says, I must do this. The authority has been given it to me. It's our plan. It's a planned mission as well. It's a mystery, Paul calls it. And so here's a modern, well, kind of a modern day picture. I think this is in Scotland. You can see two folds. You can see the one rock wall sitting here in the foreground and the gate going to the other fold. And you've got another fold over there. You've got separated sheep, one flock. and in two different folds. Now, some people would say that, like the Muslims say that Jesus Christ only came for the Jews. Now, they rejected him. And by the way, Jesus was just a prophet, and he did not come for the Christians. The Christians are a cult because they believe that there's a triune God. So according to the Muslims, you should not exist. According to the Muslims, there should not be two folds. There should be one fold of the Jews. The Mormons say that there's two folds, the Jews, and then the lost sheep of Israel. The lost sheep. And you remember that in 2 Chronicles 15, there are no lost sheep. There are no lost tribes. The Jehovah's Witness claim the same thing, that they are the lost tribes of Israel. It's kind of strange. You can't, if you study the Old Testament, you know the church and those things, it's hard to make a case for those kinds of things, but they tend to make it anyway. It seems like every 3 or 4 weeks you hear about the lost tribes of Israel again. They're not lost. They're not lost. There's a remnant of all of them. A little more bizarre, just to be a little more bizarre, God and E.T., the Vatican astronomer would baptize aliens if they asked. Did you know that they are looking for aliens? That they have an observatory in Arizona, and in fact, that is the Vatican-owned observatory, and there's lots of other weird stuff that they're doing and spending lots of funds and time on. Here is the lens of that observatory, and they call it Lucifer. Now, let's be careful here, okay? This is a fact, but let's be careful. We need to be real careful here, okay? Lucifer is not a name for the devil. It is a title. It means light bearer. And so they're using this Latin term. This is a Latin term, okay? And the King James, you will find this term in the King James. And then this Latin term, they've named this lens, because it has to do with light, they've named it Lucifer. But the question is, what are they looking for? And, who are they looking for? Their astronomer, Bishop Foons, I think was his name, said this: to use St. Francis's words, if we consider earthly creatures as brothers and sisters, why can't we also speak of an extraterrestrial brother? He said, as an astronomer, I can say that from the observation of stars and galaxies, there emerges a clear evolutionary process. That's a problem. God became a man in order to save us. So if there are also other intelligent beings, it's not a given that they need redemption. They might have remained in full fellowship or friendship with their creator, he said. He who belonged to the human race could really be that lost we who belong to the human race could really be that lost sheep, the sinners who need a pastor, he said. Now, I looked this up. I got this information. He said that. They're saying that, and they're doing that. Why? Because they don't understand Jesus Christ. They don't... Okay, I'm going to be real careful here, but they're not reading, and this is why I pulled this sentence out. There are not three folds or four folds or six folds. There are two. Two. One is the Jews, one is the church, and one flock. How do I get there? Luke 24. Repentance, Jesus said, for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to only the Jews. Fold number one. Nope. Fold number two to all the nations, but begin with fold number one. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my fold number two, church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. John 21:16, he said to him, this is what he said to Peter, tend my sheep. And then he said it again, feed my sheep. Take care of them. Be a shepherd. He's saying, this is where he gets. Be a shepherd over my sheep. They're my sheep. Be a shepherd over my sheep. Tend my sheep. Now again, he's talking to Peter, who is apostle to the Jews. Okay? But watch this in Ephesians 1. Paul says, who was an apostle to the Gentiles. You were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from fold number one, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So fold number two is predestined. Fold number one was predestined mission trip. Jesus was going to come and rescue them. And fold number two is the predestined fold. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off and have been brought near, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one flock. But you are fellow citizens with the saints, one flock. The Gentiles are fellow heirs with fold number two, members of the same flock. We're not going to fall for the Vatican's work. We're definitely not going to fall for the Mormons or the Jehovah Witness and all of these kinds of things. We're not going to fall for the idea that there's lost 10 tribes of Israel and God has to go back and get fold number three or something like that. There's two folds, and Jesus Christ has always known it, being the creator incarnate. He's always known it, and he's always had a plan. Now watch this. This is very interesting because here's a warning to fold number two. Paul is saying about hired hands, pay a careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church, fold number two of God, which he obtained with his blood. Warning to fold number two about the wolf in Acts 20. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. And so remember, Paul has been given the mystery of the church. He explains the church, how it came about. He reveals it hidden in the Old Testament and Christ's revelation of it in the New. And Paul is revealing it to us and saying that we have been grafted in to this eternal promise. This plan that God had a long time ago for flock number one. Hidden was flock number two. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. So Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, he's talking to the Jews and he's telling them, you're one fold. And he makes kind of a parenthesis. Just if you read chapter 10, in verse 16, it's kind of, oh, by the way, I have sheep of another fold. Now watch, I must bring them. They are going to come. Now he said, I did not come for them first, but they come and I will bring them. I will bring them in future there. Also, in other words, fold number one has to come and fold number two has to come as well. So the finalization is this, so there will be one flock with two folds and one shepherd. And I'll just finish with this. Jesus is still leading them out. He's still working on fold number one. Now, fold number two is set. Of course, there's going to be a day that the last Gentile comes in to the fold, and Jesus will take his church. But he still has a promise for fold number one. Remember, he said to them, I must bring them also. In other words, you're going to come along. Now, people would say, well, Jesus came. They rejected him. Fold number one rejected him. They're out. There's no hope for them. But that's not what this says. In Micah 2, he says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together. I didn't put that in there. That was in Micah 2. I will gather them together like a sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. You know, we can read John chapter 10 and we can get so much out of it. But if we don't understand it in accordance with the Old Testament, if we don't understand all of the Gospels in accordance with the Old Testament, we really don't see the depth and the breadth and the height of, number one, God's love, of course, and number two, the Bible. How, from John 10, he reaches back to Micah 2 and says, I'm going to bring them into their own fold like a flock in a pasture. Now, he didn't say anything about the church, because that's the mystery. And then, of course, in Ezekiel 34 back there, and then he says, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. You can't get much clearer than what the Lord had determined in the Old Testament. When it talks about the predestination of us, there are plurals used there, and it is talking about the people being predestined as the church. Now, I think that in the foreknowledge of God and other things, we can talk about predestined of the individuals, but in particular, especially in Ephesians, Paul is talking about the foreordained gospel being preached to fold number two. And that's you. And we're in that fold even now. Now, we said, somebody remind me of when Ramadan starts. I think it's, is it going on now or is it coming this week? I think it's very close. I want you to do me a favor, okay? I said I would do this, and I want to announce this. Ramadan's coming up. And there are so much happening in the Islamic culture, in number one, that they don't trust their shepherds anymore, that their shepherds are false shepherds, and that they've come to really eat for themselves and destroy their flock. And so what is happening with them is uncanny. It's marvelous what Jesus Christ is doing in the Muslim culture. And so this flock, or I should say this fold, the Christian fold, the church, is still being built. And until that last person comes in, we will continue to be built, like Peter says, like a holy house with the stones being added. And so when Ramadan starts, I want us to start praying for them, that God will finish his work with them. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to think about Israel as well, the second fold. I want you to think about them and pray for them as they're going to go into. They're being very strong. They're becoming very strong, a nation right now. And it's going to lead to pride and a further neglect of their God. And we should be praying for these two groups in particular this coming week or two, if you can. By the way, Israel's birthday is coming up again, and that might be a good time to pray for them. So now when you go back to read Psalm chapter 23... you go back to read Psalm 119 and other psalms that talk about sheep and those kinds of things. You own those. That is you. You are hidden there. And the Lord has announced that he would bring you also. And here it is, the results of his bringing the second fold. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you've reached out to your own people, that you promised them that even though if they go astray, you're going to go after the hearts of those who love you. You're not going to bring them all back, because not all of them love you, but you're going to bring a remnant of Israel back, the fold number one. But you, Lord, you hid us in the palm of your hand, and you revealed it in certain ways and in a progressive way in the New Testament. And we thank you that we are there, Lord. And so we We can, with confidence and encouragement, know that you are our shepherd. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we're so grateful for it, and we love you for it. May we be doing our part to bring others into the second fold, we pray, in your holy name. Amen.